Thank you, Pastor Tyler, for sharing your pulpit with me. Thank you, Mark and Flossie, for sharing your home with our family. And thank you, Worth Baptist Church, for your love and care for our family. We're so glad to be back in the United States. My whole family is here. We'll be here for just a little over a year on furlough and going around visiting our supporting churches. As God would have it, we're going to make our home this time in Chickasha, Oklahoma, helping the Bible Baptist Church with the church planting project while we're home during the week, helping them with establishing a new church out of their church. So please pray for us that God would provide a church planter to lead that when we go back, that the church will be up and running. And we're praying it's our son-in-law who came to do a one-year internship with us. So please be praying that God works out those details in his mighty wisdom. And we want to share with you a message that God has laid on our heart this morning. The title of my message is called Finding Greater Treasure. We're just 15 days until Christmas. We need to think about finding greater treasure. Men and women from every generation have believed in legends and myths that have been handed down from their ancestors. People have traveled the world over to find power, treasure, the fountain of youth, and life eternal. And these legends have led people to move to great distances so that they might gain the thing that the legend spoke of. And we remember that a legend is a story from the past that is popularly regarded as historically true, but it's not verifiable. When God makes a promise to his people and they hand it down from generation to generation, this is not a legend, it's a reality. And there's a big difference between the scriptures and a legend. But it's a very sad fact that God's people often neglect his promises. So from the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, 4,000 years had clicked by, and the Jewish people were not looking for the sign of his coming. So on that night, when the Bethlehem star burst over Jerusalem, over Bethlehem, the people of Israel did not take notice of it. But some magi in the east took notice of it. It's always amazing when we think about the Jewish people and we say that God has a special love for them, and we know he does because his son was born in Israel. And he said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name shall be great, made great from the borders of Israel. But it was magi from the east that saw the Bethlehem star and came to Israel. But these special magi from the east were carefully trained, I believe, by Daniel. You know, Daniel was taken into captivity and brought to Babylon, and there as a magi would be in charge of training other magi in teaching them to look for the sign of the coming. And I believe it is Daniel who laid this truth in their heart from the book of Numbers 24:17, so that they were waiting for the sign of his coming. So when these magi saw the star, they knew that the king had been born, the anointed one of God who would save his people from their sin. Contrary to our normal Christian tradition and our typical manger scene displays, the wise men never made it to the manger in Bethlehem, but they arrived much later, maybe even up to 2 years later, to the house of Mary and Joseph. Today, I want us to take a special note of the five precious gifts given by the Magi. When I shared with Pastor Tyler that I would be preaching on the five gifts of the Magi when we went out to dinner, he said he only knows of three. And so today we'll be talking about the five gifts given by the Magi. And I believe every person here can find greater treasure by giving God the same five gifts that the Magi gave when they came to the house of Mary and Joseph. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 and begin reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from where? From the east to Jerusalem. That's the extent of our knowledge about where they came from. There's a lot of traditions and there's some legends, but that's what Scripture tells us. The wise men came from the east, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen what? His star in the east and are come to worship him." I want to present to you this morning that the first gift that the Magi gave was the gift of waiting. The gift of waiting. You see, they said, "We have seen his star." In order to see something, you have to be looking for it. And all the people probably saw the light of the star on the day that Jesus was born, but they had no idea of its signal, what it announced. So when that star burst into the Jerusalem sky, which showed down on Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, they took no notice of its significance, that it was a sign given. But the wise men were waiting. They were watching. And this is one of the greatest gifts that we give our God today. Are you waiting? Are you watching for the return of Jesus Christ? Because see, this was his first coming. And they were faithful to study the scriptures and believe the promise and wait for his coming. Many today are saying he's delayed. 2,000 years have gone by. I present to you, these Magi knew that 4,000 years had gone by from creation in the promise in Genesis 3:15. And now, the star has shown in the sky. We have been waiting 2,000 years. And some are getting bored. Some are saying he's not coming again. But I tell you, the Magi of today, the wise men of today, will still give God the gift of waiting and watching for his coming. No one truly waiting for the supreme treasure will settle for anything less than the best. Do you see? Because you and I should be waiting for Jesus, no other earthly treasure can compare to him. We will continue waiting, and we will continue watching, and we will continue teaching from generation to generation. If he delays his coming, it's because he's long-suffering, he's merciful, and he's not willing that any should perish. But there is a gift that you need to give your God today. It's the gift of patiently waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Listening for the trumpet sound, saying, "What if it were today that he would come and snatch us home?" It is an expectation of Jesus Christ coming in the clouds. If you have believed the promise given to us that he's coming again, one of the greatest gifts you can give God this Christmas season is to teach your family not about Santa Claus's coming, but about the coming of Jesus Christ. Why not bring up our children in the truth than telling them a lie? And so we are waiting for the coming of our Savior. As we look at verse 2, we also notice in verse 1 it says they came from the east. And at the end of verse 2, it says that they are come to worship him. The second gift of the Magi is the gift of going. I was trying to determine where these men came from. I believe they came from Babylon, where Daniel was taken into captivity. But there is a lot of writings that they came from Yemen. And there's a lot of tradition that they came up from Yemen. But I see Yemen to be south of Jerusalem and not east. You might fight with me because it is southeast. But when I look at where did these men get the knowledge, I would think when Daniel was taken into captivity, he taught them and they came from the east. And that would be from Baghdad. Babylon was just about 59 miles from the Baghdad of today. And so the journey would have taken them. And I can't figure out why it took them 2 years, because I determined if you can walk 20 miles in a day, they should have been there in a little over a month. That's if they took some breaks along the way. It could have been 2 months, but it's a long journey on camel. And so we look at this, and they saw the star, and it moved them. They saw the sign of his coming, and they left the east, and they came to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was under the power of Rome, and they were coming from the east. And if you understand what a Magi is, many times in the ancient culture, the Magi were considered the king makers. They were the ones that installed the kings. You've heard of a coronation, right? Who do you think coronates a king but the Magi? These were the king's wise men, and they would coronate the king. These wise men had come from the east for the coronation of Jesus Christ. He would not be coronated of men. He came from God anointed. And so they came saying, we're not here to anoint him king, but we're coming to worship the one who's born king. No king has ever been born king. Every king must grow up as a prince and then be coronated and become a king. But this one was anointed by God in heaven and sent, and he is born king. And the star was the sign of his coming. But I want you to know that this great gift is the gift of going. You see, the Magi said, we have come. It amazes me when we have the gospel and we do not go. What if they saw the star and knew that the king was born and it didn't move them to go and worship him? There's something wrong when you know truth and you believe truth and you don't act upon that truth. You see, this is a gift. When you know that the king is born, there's a responsibility. These Magi would give an answer to God. How come you saw the star? How come you understood the meaning of the star and you did not respond to it? Church, I would present to you this morning, if you know the gospel, if you believe the gospel, if you received the word of God and you've been given a command to go and publish the good tidings of the king who has come, if you don't do it, you have failed your responsibility. It is your privilege to come to your God and give him a gift, the gift of going. It could be going next door. It can be going around the world. But we must go to worship the king. They came to see and worship the newborn king that the promised star had announced. No one going to find the supreme treasure will settle for anything less than the best. I hope you get it. If you and I want to find better treasure, we're not going to find it in this world. We're going to find it from that treasure that came down from heaven. And that's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The third gift that these Magi gave, we can come down to verse 9. Let's read verse 8 to get the setting here. It says that Herod sent them to Babylon and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. This third gift is the gift of joy. You see in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they what? They rejoiced with what? Exceeding great joy. They were not happy until they found the place that the promised star had announced. I want you to imagine that you're in the east. You look over to the west. You look and you see Jerusalem. You know that that's the way to Jerusalem. And you see the star. They made their journey. We believe based on the request of Herod to know, when did you see the star? It hinted that it had taken them some time to come. Because when Herod killed the children, he killed everyone from what? 2 years old and younger. And so there was a time delay from when they saw the star till they arrived in Jerusalem. But having arrived in Jerusalem, asking this question, where is he that is born king? It caused a disruption in Jerusalem because they were not aware of the star. They were not aware of the sign. They were not aware of the birth of the newborn king. Almost 2 years later, Magi show up saying, we have seen the Bethlehem star and we have come to worship the newborn king. Well, Herod calls the scribes and the Pharisees together and says, where is the Messiah to be born? And they say he's supposed to be born where? In Bethlehem of Judea. And so they are sending these wise men to Bethlehem. If the star was still there, these men would have not have stopped to ask King Herod. They would have just continued to follow the star. it seems that the star had disappeared. So when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were seeking direction. And they got direction to go to Bethlehem. And as soon as they got their direction to go to Bethlehem, the star appeared again. We read that in verse 9. It says, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. Are you getting it? The star was not shining all the time. The star that they saw in the east appears again to them and guides them specifically to the right house. And it came to the place and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Have you ever flowed with joy over finding something that was lost or finding something that was precious? I can't tell you how exciting it is to find something that you're hunting for. I was in the airport on my way back. My backpack was filled with my passports, my money, my iPhone, my iPad, and I went through a screening and someone stole my bag. Everything I had was in there. And after I was patted down, I turned to look for my bag and it was gone. And I'm having 5 heart attacks. I'm not traveling. I have no identification. My wallet, my phone, everything is in there. So I start to go crazy. Yeah, that happens to pastors. We can go crazy. My family was quite embarrassed with me because I started shouting at the top of my lungs. I've been robbed! I've been robbed! I can't find my bag! And I'm looking around at everyone. I told my wife and girls to guard the bags. I told my son, go and hunt the people in the airport. So Samuel takes off running, looking around, and I'm looking around, and the security's grabbing me saying, sir, you can't leave because you haven't been properly screened. I just threw them off, and I said, I'm finding my bag, and I was very hot about it. Police officers were trying to calm me down. I could not be calmed down. I had just lost everything. I'm not traveling. I'm not going home. And I sold my car before I left. I rode the bus to the airport. Listen, there's nobody outside to get me. And I don't have any money to go anywhere. And I just lost my passport, so my whole world was crashing in on me. And I was getting crazy. And after about 15 minutes of this, a man casually walks up, puts my backpack down, and says, sorry, I took the wrong one. I'm still in crazy mode, okay? I haven't come down yet. You know how you get when you get crazy. I'm like, seize him! I'm not lying. I said, seize him until I check my bag. He could have taken everything out. And I checked through the bag. I found my wallet, found my money, found my phone, found my passports. I said, okay, you're free to go. But I'm telling you, I was happy when I found that. And that was just my means to travel. But I'm telling you, when you find Jesus Christ, literally a star appeared that you'd been waiting for 4,000 years, the promise of his sure coming, the Messiah who would rescue us from sin and hell. Man. I'm telling you, these men were more excited than I was about my backpack. The Bible says these men gave God the gift of exceeding great joy. I'm brokenhearted when I meet Christians and they say that Christians, we're not lucky. Do you know, sinners seem to sin and get away with it. And Christians, when we sin, we get disciplined. And you know, when sinners play the lottery, they win. And when Christians play the lottery, we don't. We get disciplined. Pastor, no amen on that one. Some of you are all still playing the lottery. You see, there's things that the unsaved can do that we can't do because we have a different father. And there's times we look at the world and we say they have it so easy. They do whatever they want and it doesn't matter. Yeah, but they have a different destination than us. Later, you're not going to say they're lucky. You're going to say, God, be merciful. And when you're in heaven, you won't be lucky. You are blessed. These men had found the newborn king, and I'm telling you, they gave God the gift of joy. They gave him the gift of joy. No one finding the dwelling place of the supreme treasure can contain their joy. I don't know about you, but the day I came to know Jesus Christ, I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy. I got saved at age 7. At age 16, I walked into the chapel where I received Christ. I was overjoyed just walking back into the same building. Here at Camp Norfield in Norfolk, Mass., the place where D.L. Moody and men like Spurgeon preached and taught the Word of God. I got saved in that chapel, and when I walk in, I just get on fire and filled with joy. It's here that I trusted Christ. And I walk around that place and I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's here that I trusted in Christ. And one day as a 16-year-old boy, I walked into that building so excited about my salvation. I shared it with my high school sweetheart, how excited I was that I knew Christ and how I'd come to know Christ as Savior. We sat down and the preacher began preaching, and the girl got up crying and left the building. The girl behind me was her best friend, kicked me in the back. It's like, what do you do that for? She said, you jerk. I'm like, what did I do? Why did she leave crying? I said, I don't know. You know how we men do that? I don't know. So I watched to see that my dad wasn't watching me, and I slipped out the church to find out why the girl left. And I went out on the hillside, and she was weeping, and I said, why are you weeping? What has happened? She says, I don't have a testimony like you. And I got to lead my sweetheart to Jesus Christ as her Savior. Just sharing the joy of my salvation caused her to realize she did not have the joy of her salvation. And I'm telling you, when you find Jesus Christ, it ought to make you joyful. There's something wrong when someone comes to Christ as their Savior and they don't have that joy, knowing my sin is gone and I have a relationship. And I'm telling you, these magi, they traveled a long way. And when that star said, here's the place, here's the house, the Bible says these men were exceedingly joyful. And I believe that is a gift that you bring to your God. Please don't come to the house of God with your bitter, nasty face, carrying the weight of the world. Come to the house of the Lord with singing and be joyful in His presence, because He is a fearful God and He's deserving of our joy. Come into His presence with singing and honor Him. And these men came to His house with joy. The fourth gift that I see that they bring Him was their worship. You notice as we read in verse 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they did what? They fell down and worshiped him. Must have been a strange thing for Mary to see. These elaborate magi, how many of them? I don't know. There's some that say 2. There's some that say there were 60 in the entourage. But I can tell you, traveling in the Middle East, if you have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you need some protection. You know what I'm saying? You don't just travel around with your bank account. If you're 3 guys, they jump on you and rob you of everything and leave you like the good Samaritan found the man on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Believe me, you didn't travel as magi without some protection in those days. I believe that these men came with an entourage, and the greatest of the greatest of them went into the house, and these men fell on their faces before the babe. And Mary must have been sitting there thinking, wow, this is highly unusual. Yes. What manner of child must this be when the magi are bowing down, not kneeling to kiss the hand, bowing down to worship? This is exciting. This is the gift of worship. They entered the house. They understood that the promise of the Son given, He was worthy of their greatest worship. They weren't coming to see Him. They were coming to worship Him. They desired a relationship with Him because they had come to worship Him. And I ask you, as if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shouldn't have to get a phone call, someone begging you to come to church. Do you know, once you receive Christ as your Savior, it ought to be your joy to worship Him? It ought to be your desire. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be under the hearing of the Word of God. I want to worship God every morning. I want to open my Bible and spend time with God. I want to end my day in the Word of God. I want to worship my God. And this is a gift that you and I need to learn to give daily. Give God the worship He deserves. Bow down before Him because He's worthy of your worship. No one coming into the presence of the Supreme King stiffens their knees. They bow their knees in worship. This is a wonderful gift to give. So far, we've looked at the gift of waiting for the promise of the king. Third, we looked at the going to find the king. Third, we looked at the joy of finding the king. Fourth, we saw that when they found him, they worshiped him. It's the fifth gift is the gift of treasure. Look what they gave. At the end of verse 11, it says, and when they had opened their what? When they opened their what? Yeah, so the fifth gift is the gift of treasures. Do you know that's not the first gift? That was the fifth. Everything leaded up to that. They had to wait for him. They had to look for him. They had to search for him. They had the joy in finding him. And it's after finding him that they had prepared a gift to give him. They gave him their treasures. And they presented him three gifts that are recorded: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And do you know that these gifts tell a story? It's a wonderful story of who Jesus is. They brought a gift to identify the one to whom they were coming. And here's how these three gifts work. The gold was to honor him as a great king. They came to pay him tribute. The gift is one of the greatest treasures that a man can give to a king. Most every crown is made of gold. They were honoring him as the king. We believe, Jesus, you are the king, and we bring you our gold. Second, they brought him frankincense. This was to honor him as God. I believe this is telling us that Jesus Christ would be that great high priest. You know, the high priest had the frankincense, which was used in what? Worship. This is to identify him not only as a king, but a priestly king. He is our great high priest. He would be the one that would take the blood into the temple in heaven. He is our high priest who intercedes for us. So this gift is identifying not only as a king, but he's a priestly king. And then the third gift, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was to honor him as a man who would die. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This gift is to identify the purpose of his coming. They gave him the myrrh to show that he would die to save us from our sins. Did they understand? I don't know. I don't know how much they understood, but I know God led them to give these three gifts. And these three gifts identified the work of Jesus Christ. We have turned Christmas into a very selfish time of the year instead of a searching time of the year. The question of the Magi is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? I wonder how much searching will go on this Christmas season. Many of you will search Walmart, you'll search the mall, you'll search the internet, and you'll search Amazon. But I wonder how many of us will take time to search the Word of God and rejoice that we have found the one to whom the star announced. We have a Savior who came to rescue us. What gift are we willing to give him? I believe if we will give these five gifts to God this Christmas season, he will have our entire heart. This Christmas, I'm pleading with you that you would give these same five gifts. Number one, give him the gift of a life that is lived watching for the King of Kings. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for Jesus Christ? You see, that's a gift that you give him. An eye that is always watching, saying, Lord, what if it were today? The second gift is to give him a life of going to see the promised king. Going to see the promised king. There's something about a life we must go. While we are going, it should be our joy, not only for us to find the king, but to lead others to find the same king that we have found. What a joy to give him that type of life. Give him a life that is overflowing with joy because you have found the king. You might be going through the worst trial of your life, but because you know Christ, you can still give him the gift of joy. Because you know this world is not all there is. There's so much more. Fourth, give him a life dedicated to the worship of the king. Ask yourself how important worship is in your life, because these wise men came to worship him. Fifth, give him a life that truly honors the majesty of your king with your treasure. What a joy it is to know that God blesses us with things that we might be a blessing to others. Every time God gives me a gift, I ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to spoil myself or use it to be a blessing to others? Do you know what he tells me? No, this is not for you to spoil yourself, Steve. This is so that you might be a blessing to others. If we will look at our life asking God, bless me that I might be a blessing, then you have the idea of these magi. They were great men. They were learned men. They were the scientists of their day. They were the astrologers of their day. They were the kingmakers of their day. But they used everything that they had to find the King of Kings. And they came to Jerusalem with one question: where is he that is born king? What a great question. I beg you, don't let this Christmas season be a season of selfishness, but a season of searching. Will you search your life, search your priorities, search your finances, and see if you're living like a magi or a bagi? As long as Dr. Rigsby's got it, I'm okay. I want to give God these five gifts because I have found he who was born king of the Jews. And there is salvation in no other name than in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a wonderful, glorious Christmas season. We have a wonderful, glorious country. Please, don't let this season go by where you just say it's all about family. Do you know Christmas is not all about family? Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. And when you bring someone to Jesus Christ, they become family. And so, I ask you, is it about our fleshly family or our eternal family? May the joy of Christmas flood your heart as you ask yourself, am I finding greater treasure? Or am I satisfied with the earthly stuff that Satan is distracting me with? I'm amazed that the star shined in Bethlehem and no one in Jerusalem noticed the star. Almost 2 years later, the question was asked, where is he that is born king? And then they're searching the scriptures to find out where the Messiah would be born. Let it not be said of us that we're not watching. We're not willing to go. We're not in love with our Savior. Heavenly Father, as we've come to your house this morning to worship you, I pray that you would take this word of challenge about the five gifts of the Magi, and you would challenge our hearts about what we will do this Christmas season. There's lost people around us. Give us a heart to reach them. There are people that have not yet found him. Help us to present him to them. Use Worth Baptist Church this season to be a great blessing. And oh, that we would come to this altar and we would promise you that we will give you the gifts worthy of a king. In Jesus' name I pray.